He will say, this shop is useless. My goods are there, yes, but it's useless. It's locked up. He will send his seeking souls to shops which are wide open, to hearts which are wide open, to homes which are wide open. He will send his seeking souls there. They are his souls. They are seeking after him. And then we say, I tried, but you see, I don't know how it is in Toronto. People are not so receptive here. You know, this is the commercial business of the country. You know? And people are so busy all day. But despite all that, there are those who are seeking you and seeking me to find out about the truth of today. And we have that, and we don't share it. We should go on our knees and beg Baha'u'llah to send these souls to us, and henceforth to be ready for them, and to be vigilant and awake. If there is an opportunity to mention the faith with dignity, we will surely do so. And we leave the rest to Baha'u'llah. That is the way to teach. At least the first steps in the teaching work. This is my understanding. Now, you may not agree with me, and that door is open, you can throw everything out. But if you agree with me, think about it. Pray about it. Meditate about it. And I can assure you, you will be transformed. You won't be the same souls again, ever. He will come into your lives, he will take hold of your lives, and he will interfere in your lives. That's what he will do. You will have the blessing of having this partnership with your Lord. Now, on the question of leaving Canada and going to third world countries, this subject is very dear to my heart. It is something that the House of Justice has written about over and over again. We are here in Canada. The needs are so great in these third world countries. The Universal House of Justice is appealing to the youth of the world to devote not their entire lives, if they could it would be wonderful, but what they are asking is about 1 year, maybe 6 months even. All you have to do is to try. And you will find for yourselves that what Baha'u'llah and Abdul Baha and Shoghi Effendi have promised is true. No exaggeration whatsoever. I want to tell you about an atom which became a sun, a drop which became a sea. I want to tell you just a few words at the end of my talk about a very humble person that I knew. His name was Musa Banani. He is the father of Abdul Hussein Banani, who is a member of your National Spiritual Assembly. This man was illiterate. He was humble. Shoghi Effendi, he was in Haifa. Shoghi Effendi told him that he wants to make him a hand of the cause. He said, Shoghi Effendi, don't. I'm not worthy. I'm not able to discharge this responsibility. Shoghi Effendi said, you deserve it. You are a hand of the cause of God. He looked at himself. He saw he was a little drop. How could he accept this responsibility? But over the years, he was a hand of the cause for about 20 years. He passed away. The only reason why I remember him tonight is because of his qualities. And the second reason is that he passed away on the 4th of September. And I was thinking of it as I was coming to you tonight. And this man grew to be a giant of the cause. He had never given a talk in his life before an audience. Over the years, he became a good speaker. That's how the confirmations come. I would like to end my evening with a little prayer. ای پروردگار عالمیان، در این جهان به آتش عشقت بسوز، و در آن جهان به مشاهده روی محرویت کامران فرما. در این عالم چون شمع بگداز، و در آن عالم چون پروانه گرد شعله جمالت پرواز ده. توی خجسته دل بر من، و توی فرخنده یار جان پرور من.
Explain that the House of Justice has not said that it must be 1 year. They have given this as an example. It could be less, it could be more. Secondly, when it comes to interruption of one's studies, they have not said when this should be. You have to decide what is the most suitable time for you to interrupt your studies and go. Some do it at the end of their secondary school. I think we call it here high school, right? Others prefer to do it when they have their bachelor's degree and before they go on to master's and etc. still others choose a moment in their studies when they find that they can easily be away without damaging their credits. You see, so these things are left to you. And I can tell you this much, that as a result of service in the third world, you will be surprised how much you will develop as individuals. You will stand on your own feet. But please don't have any misconceptions. There will be hardships, and you have to face them. You have to go with that spirit. But you have to put your reliance on God, as well as you should consult with the institutions on the spot, and you should certainly be wise and prudent in everything you do. You see? And I can tell you also, finally, that the many youth who have done this in the past have found that when they give in their curriculum vitae, in their CV report, that they have spent 1 year or so in the field, particularly if during that period they have rendered a service which is to a certain degree related to their main major at the university, they find that this is an additional credit for them, far from being a handicap.
The question is, if Mr. Nachivani could give examples of detachment when he's referring to the fact of being detached from all save God. Okay.
Yes. I'm going to have some drink first, because that shows the degree of my detachment. You know, the word detachment is an excellent translation of the word inqita in Persian and Arabic, which is the term used by Baha'u'llah. Severance has the same meaning. It is a cutting off. Inqita comes from the word qat'a, and it means a cutting off, a severance. What do we sever ourselves from? That is the question. In fact, the English is a beautiful translation too. The word attachment comes from the word tack, and tack is a nail. That means you're nailed down to earth, and you unnail, untack yourself, and you are released. You see, this is what it means. Now, how do you do that? I wish I knew. But if you think that you can do it all by yourself, you're wrong. You simply cannot do it. You have to do it with the aid of God. You have to do it through prayer. You have to do it through daily vigilance. Look at the things that we are told in the writings to do every day. First, you said you are not tired, huh? Okay. Whenever you're tired, you tell me. I really mean it. I don't want to tire you. Listen. See how Baha'u'llah, the divine physician, what he prescribes to us, for us. He's the doctor, the divine physician. He says, his pulse, his hand on the pulse of humanity. And he has given his prescriptions. First of all, we can't do it now, but in anticipation of a future society, he visualizes those who believe in him to rise at dawn and go to the Mashroq al-Azkar, to the dawning place of the praise of God. to the house of worship. He explains in his writings, this is going to take a little bit of time, is that all right? He explains in his writings that there should be a house of worship in every country. There should be a house of worship in every locality. There should be, if necessary, more than one house of worship in every locality. So the one we have in Wilmette is not even a national one. It is the mother temple of the West. And it's also serving as a national temple. But in the future, there will be a national temple in Canada. You will have to think of a temple site, and you have to build your national temple, national house of worship. Then, as the faith grows, each local spiritual assembly will have its own local house of worship, as, of course, the faith expands. So what does he expect of us? He expects us to get up at dawn and go to the Mashul Askar for dawn prayers. They have asked him, what shall we do? In Iran, they asked Shoghi Effendi, we can't have a Mashul Askar. He said, do it in your Hazirat al-Qudsis. You have Hazirat al-Qudsis? Do it there for the time being, until the time comes when we can have the national one as well as the local ones. But in the meantime, we have a center of worship, a center for our prayers, a prayer house, if not a house of worship. We must have such a thing. Okay, he expects us to go at dawn. And you know, he even tells us how to go to the Mashriq al-Asfar. He says, while you are proceeding towards the Mashriq al-Askar, you are not there yet, you are just walking, he wants us to be in a prayerful mood already. As you direct your steps to the Mashriq al-Askar, he says, remember God. Seek His assistance. And seek His forgiveness for your shortcomings. I'm not yet at the temple. I enter the temple, he tells me, sit down silently and listen to the words of God being recited in the house of worship, and immerse yourself in that atmosphere. That's the first thing he's asking me to do. That will eventually help me in my detachment. You see, it all adds up to this. Second, he says, every day, at morn, at eventide, study the writings, twice a day. This does not need a building, it does not need a prayer house, it does not need a Mashriq al-Askar, it does not need walking to the Mashriq al-Askar at all. It is in my home to read the verses of God twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. This is the divine physician. This will help to stabilize my health, my spiritual health. Now, how often do I do it? That's another story. Why I'm not doing it, I don't know. I say I'm very busy. Then he has his obligatory prayers. This is all daily. Every day, He says, choose one of the obligatory prayers. If you want to be a Baha'i,